Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620 if you have any questions today. Travis Thompson from Climatech, our next guest in studio, and welcome to the show, Travis.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about Climatech.
Just family-owned business, been around quite a while now. We just try to look at doing this, what we do, just doing it the right way. That's kind of in a nutshell what I like to tell people when they ask that. There's a lot of AC companies in town. A lot of good ones, but we just try to do things, go above and beyond to do things the right way. And, you know, if a customer has a problem after the sale, deal with things on a very personal level. Most of my customers have, you know, a personal relationship with me and have my phone number. So it's just something that we try to be very personal with what we do and talk to customers, find out what they really want. We don't ever pressure sell anything or anything to that fact. We just, if you need something, we like to present the options and let you pick it. So kind of a laid back approach, I guess, to what we do. But at the same time, when we do it right. You know, the equipment we sell has to be installed. So it's not kind of, when you buy a car, it's done. You turn the key and it's done. Mm-hmm. When you buy an AC system, that AC system has to be sized properly from the get-go. I mean, we see that a lot get messed up. And then all the way through the process of installing it, even if you buy the cheapest unit on the market, if it's put in right, you're going to get a lot more years of use out of it, and mm-hmm. you're going to maintain that efficiency that it provides longer. So doing things like that is kind of where we try to separate ourselves a little bit.
Absolutely. Travis Thompson from Climatech is our guest today. 850-437-1620 if you have any comments or questions for him. I know you always get lots of questions from prior shows that you've been on, so definitely want to get that number out there. Talk to me a little bit about, so today is obviously kind of got a hurricane theme to it because of what's happening in the Big Bend.
We're watching
what do people need to know for their home as it relates to adverse weather?
We get a lot of questions about that when storms do pop up. And really and truthfully, the outdoor unit's really the only thing you can do much about. And making sure overhanging limbs, if you're in a flood area, make sure that the leaves and things are free, you know, around it. The biggest thing we see if a storm does come our way is stuff hitting the outdoor unit, mainly limbs of trees that are right over the top of it that just, you know, happen to fall and hit it. Mm-hmm. So really that's about the only thing as far as the protecting the unit you can do. Now, another big part of storms though is generator use. Your air conditioning system is a large electrical draw. So if you've got, I was at a customer's house just the other day, we've had quite a few AC problems. And what we learned was when his generator exercises, it's actually providing power to the house. Some do, some don't. And the generator is not large enough to run the HVAC system as well as, you know, if they're inside cooking something on a stove or the hot water heater's running, it starts to overload the generator. And that starts to drop voltage, amperage starts to go up. It just starts to create a lot of heat. Things burn up on an AC system. So if you're going to run the AC during a storm, make sure that the generator you have is large enough to run not only the AC, but whatever else you might be running in the house. And in most cases we see, like this customer, for example, his AC would have ran fine by itself. Mm-hmm. But if you're on a generator, you really have to manage how you're using your power. You can't go cooking a big meal while your hot water heater's running and have the AC running. It just don't work. It's, unless you've got a really large generator, that puts a lot of stress on everything, and it can burn components up in the AC system. So if you're going to use a generator, be very aware of that. You know, and it's not a blanket answer. I can tell you this size generator for your house. Every house is different, mm-hmm. but just know that, you know, whether you call your generator manufacturer and ask them, or not the manufacturer, the install company or your AC company, you know, you can call us and let us know your size of your generator and what your AC is. And we can tell you it's big enough for the generator, but we may also tell you, look, your AC is kind of maxing out your generator. You don't need to run anything else. So that's probably the biggest thing we see if we do get a storm with accidental failures during a storm.
Mm-hmm. As a rule of thumb, what's a good balance in terms of what you should be running off of a generator at a given time?
It's really about the amp draw. So if, and there again, it depends on the size of the unit. So this gentleman in particular had a, I want to say it was a 5-ton unit. So that unit, the outdoor amp load on it is right at 40 amps of load, and his generator put out 60. So you only had 20 amps left for the whole house, and that's where things start to go south. So what we did, we actually turned it on, let the generator run, and started turning on more devices in the house. And what we noticed was the voltage that the generator was putting out dropped almost 35 volts just with a couple of items on in the house. And your voltage gets too low, that's when you start burning things up. So, again, really no rule of thumb for it, mm-hmm. other than knowing what size you've got and what size you need.
Yeah, we have a comment on the text line. It says the generator must match the main input to the house.
Well, that's what it should be, yes, but there's so many of them out there we see that are not. You know, this in particular was a 200-amp service coming into the house, mm-hmm. had a 65-amp generator on it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I didn't put it in. I'm just telling you what I see. So that's why I bring it up. What he said is absolutely correct. That is the ideal way. Then you don't have to worry about it. But you see very few generators out there that will provide 200 amps to a house, and most houses in our area are 200 amps. The generators put in correctly actually only provide power to part of the house. That way you don't have to have a 200-amp generator, but you can still provide, your refrigerator can run, you know, things like that can run and keep your house in lights and things like that. But then everybody wants AC. Everybody wants to cook. So a lot of times things get put on there that really shouldn't be, and that's where we run into problems with our AC systems.
Mm-hmm. Travis Thompson from Climatech, our guest, 850-437-1620, if you have any questions for him. So you're talking a little bit about having systems that are the right size for the house. And one of the things that I guess with my own home that I'm thinking about is that our AC and our heating unit is on one end of the house, mm-hmm. and then the air has got to travel all the way to the other end. And so there's this constant imbalance between my kids' rooms and where we're at.
We see that a lot. And that's actually typically a duct system problem more than a sizing problem, typically. Because if you may have a cathedral ceiling in the middle of the house.
We don't.
Okay, no. Flat. So that makes it better. A lot of times we'll see that cathedral kind of gets a shortcut. They'll take the ductwork up on one side of the house and run it to that side. Then they'll run a big run of flex to the other side of the house and hit all the grills over there. Well, air conditioning or air in general doesn't like the flex runs because inside of a flex is a bumpy road, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. The air sees, you know, it's ripples and it's not straight. So the air wants to go, air's lazy. It's going to go to the other side of the house because it's easier. So a lot of times we'll have to go in and either modify the ductwork going to that other side of the house or remove a big piece of flex, something like that, because what we want to do is maintain the same pressure on one side of the house as we have on the other. Then our flow is going to be equal. But when you put big pieces of flex in, or if you've got trusses that kind of run crazy, if the contractor did a shortcut and put some flex in there to cook a couple 90s, well, the air sees that and it don't want to go that way. So you get more air on one side than the other. It can be fixed, but most of the time that's a duct issue.
Mm-hmm. I know Climatech can help with air conditioning services, AC repair and replacement, also mini splits. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Mini splits have become a big part of what we do. They're just becoming more and more popular for a bunch of reasons. If you're doing any kind of an additional space on your house, like a Florida room, those rooms have a different heat load requirement than the rest of the house because typically they got a lot more glass per square foot. So instead of trying to cool it with your system, if you do that, you're going to cool it, but you're going to have a temperature imbalance. You're going to have a warmer room when it's hot outside and a colder room because you've got more heat loss and heat gain coming through that glass. So a mini split fixes that problem because it can maintain whatever temperature you want in that room and not mess with the rest of your house. Enclosing a garage, another great place to put a mini split. Sheds and outbuildings where you may have tools and equipment that it's getting damp and moist out there. It shortens the life of them quite a bit. So you may have people putting in mini splits just to maintain a good humidity level more than anything else out in the shed. That keeps the life of everything much longer. No matter what you got out there.
Interesting. And that's actually a good transition to air quality and humidity controls inside mm-hmm. of the house.
Yep, absolutely. Humidity control is one thing that we face here more than anywhere else. I just went on a trip, and it's kind of crazy when you get away from humidity how much things change.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I think when you live here, you don't realize how much humidity changes the way you feel. We put in a lot of variable speed systems, which do a really good job of reducing the moisture in the house. So if we take that moisture level that's been for years in the house in the, say, the upper 50s, and we get it to the upper 40s, we literally have customers call and tell us that their thermostat's wrong in a brand new system. We're like, nope, it's not wrong. And we've had to go out there and show, because what happened was, you know, they used to set it to 75 and they were comfortable. Well, now at 75, they're cold.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to explain to them and basically educate them, look, 75 is still the same temperature in here, but you've reduced 10% humidity. So now just go to 77 or 76 and kind of find that happy medium. Because the thermostat's actually right, but you don't realize how much different your body will feel with just a 10% swing in humidity. You'll feel much cooler. And by getting that humidity down, we fix a lot of like sleeping problems. People that they don't like their house feels hot when the AC's not running at night, they're kicking the covers off. Then the AC kicks on, they're covering themselves back up. That's a humidity issue most of the time because it's the damp kind of sticky feeling that you're feeling, and that's what makes you uncomfortable. So a lot of times getting that humidity down fixes that problem, and you don't have the air turned down to 68 degrees at night to get comfortable to sleep. Mm-hmm. That's really just making the air run all night so that you don't get that sticky feeling when it cuts off.
Absolutely. And that also speaks to energy efficiency, and you don't want the system running and racking up a bill for you.
Correct. And that's how the variable speed system does such a good job with humidity. It doesn't shut off, which scares a lot of people. They're like, well, that's going to run my power bill up. It slows down so much that it's pulling very little energy, but it runs continuously. So it's continuously pulling moisture out of the house as opposed to pulling the moisture out, shutting off, pulling the moisture out, shutting off. Because then you see, if you graph a house, you'll see the humidity spikes. Every time it shuts off, the humidity goes up, then it cuts on, it drops down, then it goes up, then it drops down. But the variable speed, you just see a nice flat line, and it typically works out right there around that 48, 50% range, which is ideal if everything's sized properly. And that makes a house a lot more comfortable.
Yeah. And I would guess with humidity, there's probably, if it happens long enough, there's going to be other things in the air in your house that may or may not be healthy. And you also have some air purification solutions as well.
Sure enough, mold grows over 60%. So if you maintain a 60% and above level in your house, mold's every breath we take, there's mold spores in it. So that mold's going to find a place to grow on a soft surface of some kind, whether it's sheetrock or the clothing in a closet or whatever it might be. And when it does that, you know, it can get out of control before you realize it. And it can happen quicker than you think. So, you know, driving the temperature down really cold at night is also another thing that kind of invites that in. Because when you drive it down so cold at night, you're changing the dew point of your house. So you wind up turning it off in the mornings because it's nice and cold. Well, now the humidity's on a skyrocket all day. And then you turn it back on at night real cold and it's pulling the humidity down. But at the same time, our dew point changes and we can get condensation on grills, things like that, that we don't want. So that's another big factor.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So talk to me a little bit about like the thermostat. Obviously, what's an ideal temperature for people's homes?
That's asked all the time and there's no right answer.
Okay.
I'll make a lot of people mad if I said that.
Yeah.
Because it's actually an argument and a fight almost in every home we go into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just one wants it one temp, one wants it the other. But honestly, the humidity makes such a big difference that it brings that together. And I saw it in my own house. You know, my wife, she'll cover up in electric blankets in the summer to go to bed, and I don't like anything but a sheet. And we turned the house down cool. That's why she wanted so much cover. What we realized was after putting the variable speed in, we were in between those temperatures. We found a happy medium where she's comfortable, I'm comfortable. We're still a little bit that way, but nowhere near to the extreme we were before. So the humidity level can make a big difference in that. Now, to answer your question on another note, though, design temperature, which is what a lot of, I don't think contractors are, I don't think people like myself talk to homeowners enough about, is you design a home anywhere from 20 to 22 degrees different from the outdoor temperature.
Mm.
So when we have a summer where we hit 100 degrees outside or right at it, if that homeowner is still trying to maintain 70, it's not going to do that. It's too far of a difference. And that's what the AC system actually sees, is the difference in the outdoor temperature and the indoor. So unless you oversize the unit, it won't do that. So I've tried to have a lot more conversations over the years with customers about what they expect, because when you're sizing that home, if I size it by the book, you know, at the 20 degree difference, which is kind of the book difference, you know, at 90 degrees, you're not going to get what you want out of it if you're wanting to maintain 68 degrees inside. So, and then if we get to 95, you know, and you want 70, it's not going to do it. So just trying to have that conversation. Every house is its own little world, you know, and what the homeowner expects it to do. So you have to be careful, though, because if you oversize the house to get to that 68, 70 degrees, you can wind up with a lot of moisture problems, because now we're turning that unit on and off a lot more because it's really too big. Mm-hmm. So now we've got those upswings in humidity constantly all year long. And runtime is actually where we're removing the humidity. So, you know, you'll hear a customer sometimes complain, it seems to run for hours. Well, if it's 95 degrees outside, it should run all day. If it's sized properly, it won't shut off until well after nightfall. And that's something else. It's just educating and letting people know how they're really supposed to work, because they may have been in a house for years that had an oversized unit in it. They didn't realize it. It made them feel really good that the unit cut off, but at the same time, their power bill was higher than it should have been, because a unit running continuously is a lot more efficient than a unit that's cutting on and off. And I relate it a lot of times to automobiles. If you cut your, if you drive a street that's stop, go, stop, go, stop, go, what's your fuel mileage? It's terrible. Versus get on the interstate and run 60. It's your best you're going to get. Same thing for air conditioners. They need to run, because when they first come on, they take a lot of energy to get going. It takes probably 7 to 8 minutes before everything's truly down to temperature on the coil. We're removing humidity. Everything's doing what it's supposed to be. So if we're shutting it off in 5 minutes, we don't even get to the full potential of the unit before we're right back to starting over again.
See, that's interesting, because as we talked about off air, and our listeners know, I'm from the Midwest. And so when the heat kicks on or when the air kicks on, we're used to it maybe being on for 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes tops, and then it kicks off. And then down here, like you said, it could be all day. And so in the back of my mind, I'm going, that's not healthy for the unit to run that long.
Most people, that's exactly right. They just they think that way. Just, I guess it's just normal. But, you know, look at big rigs on the road. They run hundreds of thousands of miles with no issues. They're constantly running. They're constantly on the road versus your automobiles. Most people drive around town, go 100,000 miles, they're wore out.
Yeah,
it's kind of that same thing. You know, if we can turn it on and leave it running, that's why I love the variable speeds. They run continuous. It's the perfect scenario to remove humidity, stays quiet, energy efficiency. All those things we want are piled up. You just kind of have to explain to a customer sometimes it's not shutting off's okay. You know, it might run at 20% capacity all day on a day like today where it's nice and cool, but it's still maintaining humidity, low energy, everything works out for the best.
Do you have thermostat solutions that include being able to check it from your phone through an app or things like that?
Yeah, there's a lot of those available now. It's becoming more and more the norm, really. But yeah, everything we're putting in, especially on the variable speeds and the higher end systems, all have the Wi-Fi compatibility, and you can see everything. You can even control other parts of your home through your thermostat if you want to go that far with it. But yes, we do for sure. Several different brands of them. You can still get the ones that don't. And there's a lot of people that they're still very much, I don't want any of that in my life. Okay. We still have the simple ones too. But yes, we do have those.
Sure. What is a typical lifespan of some of the equipment? You know, if you're a homeowner and let's say you have your system for about 10 years.
Sure.
Is that a good lifespan, or should it be longer?
It should last 10. I typically use 12 to 15. When people ask me that question, 12 to 15 years is typically expectancy. I see them go much longer. The only issue with going outside of that 15 years that we see is while a unit may run 18, 19, 20 plus years, once they've ran that long, their energy efficiency is so poor that when that customer finally does change the unit, they're like, man, I should have done that a long time ago. My power bill went down, you know, considerably. And that's where it kind of gets to that point where you just got to make sense of what you want to do with your budget. But yeah, typically just I tell people 12 to 15 years.
Okay. What can a homeowner do to help extend the life of the unit?
Keeping it clean. What we see more than anything else with AC systems, what causes failure is dirt and lack of maintenance. Coils inside getting clogged up with mold, dirt, dust, whatever that might be. That's typically what we see cause. Outdoor units fill up with leaves and debris and trash and cause rust and wires just get corroded faster, things of that nature. So really and truthfully, it's the maintenance that can extend the life, and not only that, but keep your efficiency where it's supposed to be. So it doesn't matter if you put in a 14 SEER or a 20 SEER, that efficiency, once that unit starts getting dirty, is going to go down, 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 down. So it's going to cost you more to run it. So maintaining it as clean as you possibly can is going to get you the efficiency you paid for over a longer stretch.
Talk to me a little bit about the differences in filters too, because I would imagine regular filter changing is good, but you know, is a filter going for a
big
month, 3 months? There's different filters out there to choose from.
It's hilarious that you ask that, because I hear customers all the time say, it's a 3 month filter. Well, how much dirt did you put in it? It doesn't have any way of knowing how long it can go. And I hate that they advertise 3 month filters. It drives me nuts, because there's no way to know how long, you know, do some sheetrock sanding in your house. Your filter's good for a day. You know what I mean? It's just, there's no way to know. So I recommend always once a month. But I've seen houses that need it once every 2 weeks. Some houses can go a couple of months. Now, I don't see many residential houses that can go more than 2 months, honestly, and keep a filter the way it needs to be kept. So, you know, you kind of have to look at your house and look at how much filter you have. That's another big difference. Because filters, as you may have known by trying to pick one out, you've got everything from the blue, green ones that you can pick up and look straight through to this HEPA, you know, MERV, all these other numbers that are so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Those things, I jokingly say the best filter in the world is a piece of cardboard because it won't let any dirt through. But guess what? It don't let any air through either.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally where you're going from, is from a piece of cardboard to nothing. What degree of dirt do you want to stop versus what degree of air? So if you're going to have a higher efficiency filter, meaning it's going to take more dirt out, we've got to have more space on that filter. We got to make that filter bigger, taller, wider, maybe add another one, something to give you the ability to run those nicer filters. Because a lot of times I see customers go out and just, hey, this thing says it stops all these mold spores and everything. Well, it might, but it's stopping so much air, your unit's choking to death now. And you're not doing your unit any favors at all.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely a balance on filters. Again, I wish I could give a blanket answer, and there isn't one. Every unit size needs a different amount of air. And then you've got to look at the opening size you have available. Some places we go, there's really nowhere else to put a bigger filter. We're just kind of stuck with what we got. Others, we can easily add a whole nother filter section, make it easy.
Travis Thompson from Climatech is our guest. If people want to get a hold of you, how do they do it?
They can call me. It's the easiest way, 850-857-4700, or they can go to climatechproair.com.